Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Put down your rifles and eat up your trifles, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller, and Pete Donaldson's here.
That's it.
That is it.
That's all we got.
Oh, shit.
We've got rid of the dead wood.
Yeah.
We've got rid of the bar-offs. The men drier than Brendan Rodgers' lips. They've gone. And this is all we've got.
Hey,
we're the wet work.
With all that dead wood out the way, what kind of fire can we conjure up?
Loving it.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Luke and Jim are away.
They've gone. Jim is in Japan, which sounds very familiar, doesn't it?
It's the sort of
business I get up to.
Did you pass his name on to them?
I did, yeah. You need to take a look at this lad. He's a prospect.
And Luke, well, you all know where Luke is.
Is Luke in America?
Living
maybe.
In America.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Let's get on with it.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Let's trudge through it. Celtic Football Club have had to send letters to season ticket holders in the main stand at Celtic Park as people have complained of body odour polluting the stands.
Jesus. That is a sad indictment. And I know you're a little bit pro-Rangers, Marcus Speller, and you chose a little week where nobody was in to have a go at the Celtic fans, literally just calling them smelly.
I never said that.
Not having this.
I'm not pro-Rangers anyway.
All right, you got a soft spot for them.
How did... I've been to see them more times than Celtic. That's what you're basing
that's
on.
That's what I'm basing it on.
neither of them. I mean, some say that Celtic and Rangers are grand, but the boys in maroon are the best of the land.
There we go.
Not that weekend they weren't. apparently, the smell is so bad in these certain pockets, I'm guessing, of Celtic Park. It's actually impacting the match experience. This is, I mean, football fans are not known for their sweet smellingness, but
no, especially since the smoking ban as well. Actually, no, you can still smoke on the in the stadium, can't you?
No, I doubt it.
And yeah,
I doubt that very much. Maybe we should bring it back in.
I've seen people do it at polls.
There's
fine. Who's going to tell you off?
It's not a Premier League club or a Premiership club. Well, the club are therefore asking fans to make sure personal hygiene is up to scratch. That's a bit piss poor that you're having to ask people to do that, but there we are.
I've got someone I know who runs a pub, and he had to ask one of his patrons to, just have a shower and stuff. How depressing is that? How do you even start to broach that subject? Mano a mano. It's hard, isn't it?
You say, bouncer, wow, wow, and you go in from there. How would you solve the problem of stinky supporters, Peter?
I know we got a fill time, but we ain't going to do it here. There's other things to get on with. So, ball full of Glade plugins for the warm-up, so people could just take pot shots.
Nice.
Lukaku, he obviously booted the ball at a lady. She'd smell nice if the ball was full of Glade plugins.
Down in Southampton, that
yeah,
was, yeah.
No pepperamis on sale. Ban the pepperami.
That's or anything, not to do with body odour,
anything
is it?
Meat. No, if you eat too much meat. If you go for red meat all the time, the burgers, the pies, the steak and kidney pies, it's going to have an effect cumulatively.
I think you've got to hit them in the home.
You hit them in the home? What
yeah,
do you mean?
Well, as in, if you're going to ban that on the terraces, it's not going to make a difference. The damage has already been done.
A big hose full of barbicide.
And now you're talking.
Just fire it.
Now
that,
you are talking.
That stuff they put combs in a barber's, just fire it at them before every match.
Good.
Lovely.
Lovely old job. Mm. I'd put the players of the club who have received bans for any reason at all.
Right.
In the loos, selling squirts of cologne and deodorant, you know, for a club.
Oh,
like clubs.
If you want to get some freshen up.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys.
In a club or in a bar these days, you know, they have them everywhere. Have them everywhere. and the fans would most likely pay because you get to talk to a player.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine if you walk in the bog and Wayne Rooney's there.
Selling Stratos. Blue Stratos.
Do you want some Old Spice?
Do you want some... A fragrance is coming...
Yeah.
That was off his advert.
That was
he could, most of them hawk perfume anyway, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. So they
get, easy peasy.
Now you're talking.
Yeah. We've done it once. Paco Rabanne. Million Fragrance for Men. That was a long time ago.
Lovely old job.
You still got your bottle.
It's a different bottle.
It's a different bottle.
I'm about five bottles in.
This is an intervention. This news story doesn't actually happen. It's an intervention because you smell.
Oi. Don't wish the others back for me, all right? Now, the player, they won't like it because you're in the toilets having to do that kind of job. So they'll get their disciplinary record back on track. They won't want to go back in there. And you can make a few quid, maybe donate it to charity.
Perfect. Everything covered, are you?
Yeah?
Yeah,
are
love your job.
Are you giving me the points,
I
Peter?
Think I am giving you the points, Marcus.
Yeah, lovely.
Oh, let's kiss. Now it's just doing two. Let's just men be men. I'll pop my little claw on on your thigh. Mm. Let's just let things happen.
Diggory Donaldson.
Let's just let things happen.
Or in this week's news, Piggory Donaldson.
You be the pig, I be the Prime Minister. Right.
Oh, talking of pigs, West Ham. Thank you.
They were a stinker, weren't they?
Oh, my
Not
goodness.
West Ham. The other team, Man City.
Bilic masterminds. Another superb away result. They've won at the Emirates, Anfield, the Etihad.
He's loving it. Oh. I mean, it's better to be a travelling supporter, I think,
yeah,
for
definitely.
West Ham at the moment than be one at home. He said that winning was like going to a pub full of girls, which I think is lovely.
Yeah.
Jukebox full of Robert. Oh, lovely.
Robert, that's the band.
That's his band.
Do
that's
we
his
know,
old band.
Do we know if he's still in the band?
Well, I don't know. I think you just kind of float in and float out. I think he's like the fifth member of that. He can just come in and come out when he likes.
Bobby Williams?
Whatever his name is.
Yeah, they're down to three members, though, these days.
Are they? Okay.
Get with it, Grandad. West, this is sensational stuff. It really is. Because if they can sort out their home form, they'll bloody win the league. It's absolutely sensational stuff. But there is something in that, though, with Bilic. The trick is for him to win games, especially at home, that they're expected to win.
Mm.
It's all very well setting up. Well, I say all very well. It's a hell of an achievement setting up against a much better side. But you know what you've got to do. Although one thing that was impressive about West Ham is they still attacked. They didn't just park the bus, as we said. Yeah, they did when they had the 2-1 lead. But they still attacked. They still created chances. Got a couple of goals. Nice to see Victor Moses as well.
They just seem to move and sort of show for each other. Tompkins and Reid, it all kind of started with them. And they just, every time they laid off the ball at one another, they just run, which is, I know it's basic stuff, but it's just like, They never stopped supporting one another, and it was beautiful to see.
Do the basics.
Yeah, well, apparently Slaven Bilic's long ball average, or certainly long pass average, is higher than Sam's was last season.
Lovely.
One in the eye for the West Ham supporters.
Did Big Sam tell you that? In a pub full of girls.
It's higher. Yeah, but they're winning, Sam. Shut up. Shut up, lad. But, but it was a good performance from certain players on the Man City side. I think
De Bruyne looked
fantastic. In spite of the win, he was really good. He's like Silva, but like really quick.
Yeah.
And really, his corners were great as well, which I thought. Quicksilver. Yeah. Quicksilver. It shouldn't be underestimated how important like the dead ball stuff from corners is. But there really is no excuse for teams like Man City saying, well, we had Kompany and Silva out. They should be able to put these kind of slightly easier teams to bed, I think.
Yeah. But then we might see this from Bilic's teams.
Yeah, well, they're making everyone look very normal.
Well, maybe that is his little trick, isn't it? Go away from home and play wonderfully well. Get a few of these results. Make sure you get a few of these results. And then the rest of the season you can kind of coast through. Yeah, but you remember those three wins.
Fast goal, though. Oh. I mean, goodness me. I mean, Mangala could have gotten a little bit closer, but he just squeezed it in. I had no idea. It wasn't coming, really. I think he thought he would have to take a good few more steps before he unleashed that. But what a hit.
I know.
Beautiful. I mean, Mangala did save a goal late on. Sarko, but I think Sarko and a lot of West Ham players did have a lot of chances to get involved and score a goal.
I mean, yeah, exactly. People said, oh, but on another day, City could have scored four. Mm. Another day, West Ham could have got a couple more. I think that's what we're saying here, that it isn't just a case of, oh, yeah, they've shut up shop, they've defended really well, which they did, but they've also shown a bit of attacking flair and made a few chances.
Man City season, once again, will live and die on Aguero's, how good Aguero is. Aguero missed a canny few chances in that match. He was just kind of firing wide, or he had a kind of like a set two with a goalkeeper at one point, just kind of trying to lash it at point blank range past him. But when Aguero misses, Manchester City invariably don't do very well. So
so people are saying they've rushed him back from that knock he took against Crystal Palace, maybe. If you're a bit worried, put on Boney. It's not a bad replacement.
He's not having a good time, but to be fair, he's second in command, isn't he? So he's not going to have a lovely time, is he?
Exactly. But yeah, so two home losses on the bounce for Man City, you know, counting the Juventus one, of course. But yeah, very surprising. But it's good to know that you didn't want Man City to just run away with it. They hadn't conceded. They hadn't lost. And then it's like, right, just remember, this is the Premier League, all right? This is our best league in the world.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's just kind of come to this kind of midpoint where everyone can beat everyone else, and invariably they do. So it is, about five seasons too late, the most exciting league in the world.
Yep, that's right. It's always anything can happen, but one of the best team always wins.
Yeah.
Like the biggest
and
best.
At the end of the season, the best team will win.
That's right. Generally, well, the league table has yet to lie to us, has it not, Peter?
That is true.
Apart from that season, Newcastle went down.
Yeah,
still trying to get to the bottom of that fib.
And Serie A.
Yeah, well, a lot of porky pies going on there. Come on, that's enough. Oh, we've got an email here from Ian Reynolds, and he's saying this is about Manchester City, specifically one of their wingers. Hi, guys, don't suppose you have any idea why Jesus Navas isn't homesick anymore? I don't, Ian.
Who wouldn't miss Planet Sexy? Who wouldn't, quite frankly? I mean, with the greatest respect to where he lives now, it's not Planet Sexy, is it?
Are you saying Seville? Was it Seville?
It was Seville, yeah.
Yeah, down that way.
Yeah.
That's true. I've been down there.
Still not Planet Sexy.
They thought I was one of the locals. Why isn't he homesick anymore? I don't know.
They probably give him a bonus of some kind.
Yeah.
If you play and stop talking about how homesick you are.
A non-homesick bonus. If you stop talking about home, we'll send you home more.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's it, Ian. I hope that answers your question. Chelsea, though, they're back to winning ways. And Diego Costa, back to his old self.
A masterclass in belligerence.
Lovely.
Wonderful.
It was, wasn't it?
When he's not involved in any teams that you like.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a soft spot for Arsenal, but wonderful, beautiful work.
It's so funny, isn't it? People have been spectacularly offended by that man. I just think he's not gone out to harm anybody. He's just gone out to...
What are you talking about?
When did he do that? Not like injure someone.
He's been digging left, right and centre. Ever since he joined the Premier League, he's been dig, dig, dig. Dr. Diggery.
No, but okay, specifically in the Arsenal game, he didn't go out to injure anybody.
You know,
a slap in the face has never injured anybody.
He scratched a man's neck.
Oh, that's all right.
Do you remember the Sweet Fire Animals single, The Man Don't Give a Fuck?
Yeah.
And it had Eric Cantona.
No, it was...
The former Reading and Cardiff City player.
Was it not Eric Cantona?
No.
Didn't they replace it with Eric Cantona jumping into the stands and kicking someone?
Oh, maybe they did.
I seem to remember a release of that. All I'm saying is re-release.
Yeah.
With Diego Costa on the front page.
That would work.
Kurt Zouma came out after the match and said, called him a cheat.
That was amazing.
He's like, he plays for your teammate, Sharp.
Well, yeah, it was a lovely bit of work from Zouma in the post-match interview.
Zouma was being curt.
He was very curt. I like that. Yeah, he was being interviewed and he just said, well, we know Costa likes to cheat a lot. And then today, or was it yesterday, the Chelsea spokesperson came out and said, no, that's not what he meant.
Lost in translation.
English isn't his first language, you know. I'm thinking, he speaks English very well. He knew exactly what he was saying and you've had to cover up his little mess there.
But I mean, you know, early on, it seemed that Arsenal, even if they were down to 10 or even 9, they weren't losing the match on that count. Maybe 9, but they weren't losing the match on that count, because you can see from the first few minutes Hazard had the making of like Bellerin. And Costa's got previous with Paulista. These things are always going to happen.
Yep.
So it's down to, I don't know, Arsenal's tactical naivety that allowed it to carry on. And we knew that was going to happen, though. They had a set to last time.
Yeah. I think this is it. You're exactly right. We know it's going to happen. It's happened
so
before. It will happen again. It will happen every week if he plays. So therefore, you can prepare for it.
Yeah.
You know what he's going to do. Why then get wound up? I know Gabriel and Costa have had a little bit of previous in La Liga when Gabriel was playing for Villarreal.
Mm.
And obviously Costa was playing for Atleti. So therefore, you know how he's going to play.
Yeah.
To be fair to Koscielny, when he did get the little slap in the face, he didn't actually react.
Yeah.
And that's the way to deal with it. Unfortunately, Gabriel just thought, right, shut this. I'm going in.
You've sometimes just got to trust in the referee. And if he doesn't get his just desserts there, he'll get retrospective punishment.
Which he has.
And I imagine... Is that what he has.
I mean, right. They might appeal that.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he's done. But don't... I always admired...
Kick out? When's a kick out ever... Nobody's ever went, you kicked out really well then, and you kicked out and you won the match because of all that kicking out you did.
And
nobody says that ever.
And if you're trying to injure the man, no one's ever got injured from a kick out.
For a kick out, no.
We condone that.
Oh, it's just... I can understand the anger in his heart and his soul and his feet. But... Oh man, it's never solved anything.
Yeah, well, I did always like it what Roy Keane said with the incident with Alan Shearer at St James's Park when they had a little bit of argy bargy and Keane got sent off because he tried to flick Shearer in the face and I think his finger caught his forehead or something and there's a lot of forehead to be caught there and
endless
he could have been pointed at a seagull flying over and he might have clipped him but he said afterwards. He said, what was the point of that? He said, if I'm going to get sent off, I might as well have properly hit him.
Yeah,
and
okay. So was he angry with himself there?
Yeah.
Right.
He was angry that he didn't lamp him once, which is classic Keane.
Never mind.
No one's safe, not even himself, from his own wrath. But yeah, back to Costa. I think that... Mourinho knows exactly what he's doing. Arsene Wenger was obviously unhappy after the game. Mourinho sat back in the press conference. Well, I thought he was man of the match. Such a piss take.
Oh, the linesman was much closer than the cameras.
And
then
what are
you talking
Mourinho
about?
Started comparing football to rugby and all sorts, just tangling it all up.
You know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Again, we know what we're going to get from him as well. Jeez.
But Mourinho, he's almost sort of taken Ferguson's reins, hasn't he, from the old wind-ups and mind games. Because in Gerrard's book, which has been serialised, I think, in the Daily Mail, a lot of quotes and extracts are from that. And he talked about Rafa Benitez and how some of the England players play for Manchester United said that Ferguson, when Benitez came out and started ranting and raving about Ferguson walked into the club and went, oh, I've got him! He's given it all that.
Yeah.
And you can just imagine that Mourinho's doing that. I mean, Mourinho said...
I don't think Alex Ferguson's had the start that Mourinho's had this season ever, I don't think, has he?
Oh, well, the first 3 years, he
You probably wasn't doing a lot of hand rubbing then, though, was he?
It's sort of the same old with Arsenal. You hear Wenger moaning and saying this, that, and the other, and you just think, it's avoidable.
Mm.
It is avoidable what's going on. It was a couple of little bits and pieces. And do you think the press are a little bit harsh? I think it was Amy Lawrence on Match of the Day Extra on BBC. I think it was her who was saying that if Costa was maybe British... would he get so much stick and outrage? Because if we've seen this kind of behaviour from Shearer, Duncan Ferguson,
I think the Joey Bartons and the of this world get just as much as Costa. It doesn't help that Costa looks
Barton's
like
breaking
a
the law, though, Pete.
Yeah, all right. There were certain times when him, I don't know, Craig Bellamy was giving in sly digs and stuff like. There's been players around. I mean, thinking about a lot of them playing for Newcastle, but Lee Bowyer, David Batty. Oh God.
And you can do a bit of fight like that at the moment.
I don't think there's anybody that could level xenophobia at this
point. Okay,
problem.
Fair enough.
He's a shit, come on.
Yeah.
But he's a shit.
He's a lovely shit.
He's a lovely little shit.
Oh, he's a lovely old shit. He is. We've got an email from Alfred who's saying, would you rather fight a horse-sized Diego Costa or 100 duck-sized Diego Costas?
Right, I know we're trying to fill time because there's only two of us, mate. But... not now. All right,
fair enough.
You know, Marcus, any day of the week,
yeah,
I would get involved in that question. It's not happening this week, all right?
I'd go for the horse.
I'm having to be serious.
Alfred, I'd go
week.
For the horse.
Right.
Speaking of nonsense, Garth Crooks.
Wow.
That was wonderful, wasn't
He's
it?
Had a good couple of weekends of it, hasn't he?
He's having a lovely old time. Fresh from last week's chat about perfect hat tricks. He wasn't in any way impressed with the referee in the Chelsea-Arsenal game. He said, Mike Dean is a good referee, but he's got one problem. He wants to be the star. By the way, it's worth checking this video because even in my best Garth Crooks impression, it won't get near to the cadence.
He's angry. His eyes are like bursting out of his head. Uh-huh. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And he's really starting to get on my nerves. That's what Crooks said on the BBC. He's spoiling games. It's not about you, Mike. It's about the game. People pay good money to come and see the game, not for you to get over officious like a petulant school teacher.
Oh yeah, that classic phrase, petulant school teacher. Yeah. We all know that one, don't we? Took some prisoners there, didn't he?
If I was Mike Dean, I'd say it's nothing officious.
Let's nip this in the stem. Marcus,
yeah,
we're going to get phrases wrong.
Did you think that Cazorla should have been sent off? It's actually a nasty tackle on Fabregas.
It was a nasty tackle, but I think sending him off is akin to setting about Bambi with a lump hammer. It's not nice. Nobody wants to see it. He's too lovely. He's such a lovely chap.
Dem rules are dem rules.
Dem rules are dem rules.
You know the score.
Yeah. I'd hate to pour hot water on his tackle.
Indeed. Terry was on the bench. What do we make of that?
He's very slow and Arsenal are very fast.
Yeah.
So
makes perfect sense then.
There's the decision there, I think. Okey-dokes. I fear.
Okie dokes. but yeah, Mourinho, he was a lot happier.
Are we going to touch on Garth Crooks' team of the week?
Oh, yeah. Where he Vardy and Hazard wing-backs, were they?
He basically just took all of the scorers and the good performers up top this weekend and mashed them into a forward line.
Yeah.
There was like six of them.
What were we playing? 4-0-6?
There was three at the back, one in the middle, and the rest were just strikers.
3-1-6.
As a fan of 90s Kevin Keegan, I endorse this.
Yeah,
message,
absolutely.
But, you know, I can't get enough of that.
The entertainers are back.
In Garth Crooks' mental mind.
They've manifested themselves through Garth Crooks' opinions.
Goodness me.
Lovely job. Right, come on, let's talk about Newcastle United.
Wasn't a good match, was it?
No.
No.
It certainly wasn't. They lost at home to Watford 1-2.
There was no structure. The movement was weird. Once again, as I've said, I think I said this about 2 or 3 weeks ago, youngest team in the league. I just think when footballers are young, they know how to cross and shoot and do your step overs and do like the cool stuff.
Mm.
But I think sometimes fitting into a system and learning how to operate within one of those, there aren't enough old heads in that team. It's Colaccini. And Sissoko's like 26 and he's like the next oldest player. Everyone's under 25 in that team, and there's no structure and they don't listen. Couple that with the fact that Steve McClaren isn't Alex Ferguson and Tovin isn't Ryan Giggs.
Yep.
Like, we're looking at a team that a little bit rudderless.
But neither are John Carver, though.
No, exactly. But, you know, and also, like, the club, they buy young and cheap and they sell after a few years. So players like Teote, Sissoko, if they don't get their money or their prestige move outside the window, they just don't bother, you know. When it comes to, like, December, Sissoko will fancy it again because, you know, he can get a move to, or try and get a move to a Champions League club that he keeps on barking on about. But mid-season, he just doesn't give a toss.
You'd love to get Charlie Austin in January.
It's not even the strike. It's not even Cisse. Again, he's 31. No, 30, I think Cisse is.
Okay.
Cisse's completely exposed up top. He's not a target man. He's never been a target man. Mm. It was the same problem with last season with Alan Pardew just knocking balls at him. He couldn't grab hold of them because he's not very tall. He's not very imposing.
Don't
he's
have
not
a go
big.
At Pards.
Any excuse, quite frankly. But when you've got a crowd sort of baying for McLaren to bring on Rolando Ahrens, a 19-year-old released by Bristol City a few years ago,
yeah,
to create something, a ball into the box or something, you've got problems. And we've invested in certain areas, but the system is all wrong. They're just playing shapes and there's no penetration at all.
I thought this... excuse me. I thought this was going to be a ridiculous suggestion. Now you've said all that, I don't think it is. Apparently, Mr. Amiobi is having a chat with Wolves, 33-year-old Charlie Amiobi. I'm thinking to myself, with all this stuff you're saying, should they bring him back?
Well, the way they're playing, yeah, probably.
But there's someone who knows the club inside out, who an older head hopefully could pass on some experience. I mean, has it come to that?
There's not a lot of experience in that team, and the slightly older players have got their eyes elsewhere for me.
Louise
Taylor did note in The Guardian that Colo might be better served as a defensive midfielder. Not massively averse to that. We got a couple, but Colo's not very good as a defender at the moment, and there's no point in sort of building a partnership with Mbemba, because Colaccini's ancient now and he's really, really slow. So it might be an idea, I don't know.
But this is the chat though, isn't it? If you're saying Colaccini should become a defensive midfielder for Newcastle, that shows that...
Well, especially after you spent £50 million in the close season, and we've paid money for defensive midfielders. And Colo just had another match where he decided to spend most of his time on the floor. Like, he would just dive in. Every time the player shaped a shoot, he would dive in. He would just dummy and just, like, breeze past him. Watford would... Such an organised team, though. For a promoted team, I thought they were fantastic. The contrast between Igalo and Cissé was so stark. Igalo was fantastic. Some of the... he tore Colo a new one on more than one occasion, and he scored after one of them.
But the first goal Watford scored, what a soft goal from Newcastle's point of view. Well pounced by Watford. But Mike, you look at that and you think, dearie me. I mean, Steve McLaren's finding it very difficult already, and he spoke of his team not having an identity. And Shearer was critical on Match of the Day about the body language during the game and before the game as well, and all this kind of stuff. And is it a case of... they're not getting the basics right? McLaren did pretty well in his first season at Derby, and then it sort of tailed off. He did well at Twente. He's a bit of a mixed bag, McLaren, but he is a decent coach, and players seem to like him. But are Newcastle, are they more in need of a Bilic, a guy who's very intense, comes in, G's everyone up? I mean, the worry for West Ham is by Christmas they'll all be emotionally drained and they might drop well off. But it'll be one hell of a half a season. But hopefully not. But, you know, would Newcastle be better served by a manager like that? Or is it to do with the manager? Just look at that and you think, is it Ashley? Is it all coming from the top?
I just think it's that policy of buying young. Our best seasons were when we had slightly older players. Obviously, Kabay came into his own and stuff. But when Tiote was really, really sort of hammering down walls, he was fantastic the first season we had. And we had someone just sitting in front of the back four that we really needed. All right, we were hemorrhaging goals every now and again, but we're not scoring goals.
Yeah.
Three goals in however many matches, and our most attacking player is a right back. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but Watford were great though.
They were fantastic.
What I love about Watford is none of it makes any sense. People go on about stability of football clubs. They said this on the TV, and I'm sure a lot of other people have said it. The manager comes and goes, the players come and go. It's working.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of years ago, was it under Zola maybe, where they got to the playoffs? They were close there. They obviously got promoted last season, and they've had a great start to the Premier League where people thought they might be the whipping boys. It's early days, but they've had a great start.
Well, let's me talk about like a young team and stuff. Like the team don't know each other at Watford, and they seem to be able to sort of smash out results.
As soon as people get to know each other, as soon as people start to make friends, you're out.
Yeah.
Get someone else in.
Well, it's certainly no use having your captain just fall on his arse all the time. It's like, what is that? He's our oldest and most experienced head, is it? Brilliant.
Yeah, lovely old job. I think Igalo and Deeney up front as well. I like that. Two strikers, attacking players. Great partnership and good understanding.
And it's kind of, for me, it's like that almost Shearer and Sutton-y kind of thing where one doesn't mind if the other one scores, because Deeney's not getting the goals at the moment, but he's certainly supplying a lot.
Yeah, he's putting a lot of work in there. Incredible stuff. More football chat after this.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Well, Marcus, I think it was a nothing-nothing result. I'm Craig Brown. Welcome to the Football Ramble.
He doesn't say this is Craig Brown, says Craig Brown. Craig Brown,
I asked him to
I
say
exist.
I asked him to say his name. And he did. Craig Brown will always deliver, in a way. Yes, what about Bournemouth? Let's talk about something upbeat.
Yes.
Matt Ritchie with an absolute peach.
The twisting.
Yeah.
What form?
Twisting like, shell.
Oh, my word. He had such a small... Oh, a small postage stamp to hit, and he just angled himself. Like, you talk about some of the best volleys in the Premier League and in the top flight of English football. You know, someone like Yeboah, he had a lot of room in front of him, and people were just backing off, and you know, Rooney scored a couple like that. But that, he had so little time to hit it, and so such a small space to hit it into. Oh man. Love that goal.
Instinct is stronger than reason.
Beautiful.
According to the Baywatch theme tune. it was a beauty. And it's one of those goals where you think to yourself, like, Sunderland fans would probably be watching it going, oh, I wish we were anyone else other than the opposition fans today, because we'd love to get involved in that. they probably think that most away days, to be honest. I mean, they are struggling big time.
They're having a stinking time. I think Match of the Day said third season in a row Sunderland have failed to win their first six matches.
I'd say it was such a gleeful glint in your eye.
If I was a Sunderland fan,
you're down there with them.
Just buy a second half. You know, you can just get a cheap second half matchday ticket.
Is that right?
For the second half of the season.
The North East is not representing itself very well in the
Premier
League.
Dreadful.
Yeah.
Already, right?
Yeah, they are. In the Championship. But Dick Advocaat said after that he'd be looking at his position and said today that if someone's there better for the job, he'll step aside.
Mm. Well, look at how many chances Defoe's missed in the past few weeks.
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell me that he's not saying, can you score those? Can you put those away, please?
Yeah.
Like, because you've bought a player who is a very convincing striker, knows how to angle his runs, and is excellent both in the air and on the floor, and, you know, one-on-ones and stuff like that. But he's just not putting away the goals. That header he fluffed halfway through the match. It's just like, oh my days, that's...
Yeah.
He was even surprised. I know it was offside and stuff, but Defoe didn't know that. Goodness me.
Yeah, it was crazy, wasn't it?
I mean, but again, we always do this. We always sort of go in, whatever the hot-button topic is, we always go, oh, Sunderland were crap, Sunderland were rubbish, but Bournemouth won that game more than Sunderland kind of lost it. 37 years old, Sylvain Distan on the
lovely
field. Beautiful.
Lovely. Oh, if you're going to start against Sunderland,
he's only a few days younger than the manager. That's what I like about that.
Yeah, that's class. That is. I was down in Bournemouth the other week, actually. Look at, you know, down by the pitch and all that, and it's incredible to think that's a Premier League ground. I think you said this when QPR went up, because Loftus Road is quite small. It's only about 20,000, something like that. Bournemouth is 11.5. You know, it is tiny. And what I love as well is the, and forgive me if I've said this before, but the away bench is just like a plank of wood almost.
Lovely. I don't like the motor racing seats.
A bus stop is luxury compared to the away bench at Bournemouth. And I cannot wait to see Van Gaal, Wenger, Mourinho and all crammed in there with all the subs in the back room. Stuff.
Love it.
That's going to be class, that.
But like Dan Gosling really did stand out. Apparently he ran more than any other Premier League player ever.
No.
Since stats began.
Shush.
Since, well, I mean, I can't imagine the running stats have been.
I think the noughties few, or something.
Yeah. But I mean, still, that's a. For that's Dan a Gosling, phenomenal. A 25 year old forgotten man of Premier League.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
It's a lovely bit of work. Well, I'd finish the Sunderland chat there just by saying to Dick Advocate the quote from Wesley Snipes' character in White Men Can't Jump: listen to the woman.
Listen to their woman.
Should have retired.
Wow.
Should have retired last season, Dickie boy. But there we are. Aston Villa, they lost at home to West Brom. Berahino with a crafty one.
Mm.
Celebrated with great enthusiasm.
Well, if that didn't go in and it went out, everyone would have been super annoyed at him.
Yeah.
Because he basically deflected it and he didn't really know where it was going.
He's saying he stole the goal.
He's a goal staller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sherwood. I'm thinking Luke's prediction is...
We don't have to do this. He's not here. It's fine.
All right, fine. All right. But yeah, a great win for West Brom. They hope to kick on now, surely, because they've got a decent array of forwards. Now they've kept Berahino. So it'll be interesting to see what Pulis can do there. See if they're scrapping away come the end of the season or indeed they're mid-table. Or even better, you never know with old tone. Stoke 2, Leicester 2 was a good game. The Foxes never know when they're beaten. And I love what Ranieri said. When we play desperate, that is our way.
It's almost not worth scoring.
Don't bother with your
Leicester
tactics.
Because they'll come back at you.
You've got to get the last-minute goal. Play for a last-minute goal. You just sharp shop. Leicester won't know what to do. And then try and bombard them in injury time, something like that. They're just 3 points off the top.
They didn't get their pizza and hot dogs, though.
I know, just for a clean sheet?
For a clean sheet, they're going to get pizza and hot dogs bought by Ranieri. That's not football or food, is it? Goodness me. What I liked, Wes Morgan's back pass. I do like watching the captain of a football team fart himself inside out. And instead of getting like a stoic game face on and go, you know, the best players don't beat them, he head in his hands.
Yeah.
Oh.
It really was, wasn't it? Do you know what? It's funny one with Stoke. They've got a decent squad and obviously a lot's been talked about their signings and whatnot. But they've only picked up 3 points. Well, one more than Newcastle.
Well, especially
so far.
As how everybody laughed at Ranieri coming in at Leicester.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the yesterday's man and all that. It was just like, he's doing really well. And and Stoke just aren't sort of providing any sort of
I wouldn't worry
about their fans.
Of course, I wouldn't worry about Stoke. Obviously, they had a great season last season, and surely they'll be back up there soon enough. But it was good to see Bojan back and scored a lovely one.
Mm.
A slip and a slot.
It was very nice.
It was delish. Went on and just stroked home. Or a slip and a stroke, if you pardon the expression. It was a good game. And Vardy as well.
I've not seen a team this season be able to stop him from getting a shot away. Doesn't always score, but he'll always get a shot away, and that's exciting.
Get him on the plane, mate.
Get him on the plane. I don't like him, he's a tit, but...
Oh, right, fair enough. He upset one of your countrymen.
He did.
The naughty bugger. Now, let's wrap up. Before we do, though, Southampton 2, Manchester United 3. Martial, eh? Not looking such a silly buy now, is it?
He's still got a long way to go, you.
And everyone else.
He tweeted a picture of his daughter with his Man of the Match trophy. He's 19. I mean, he's a multi-millionaire, but he's 19.
Yeah, and a father.
Bloody hell. Bloody hell, mate.
Prolific everywhere.
Yeah, prolific.
Do you know what, though? Gary Neville was saying this. He just looks so composed and so calm. It's like he's been doing it for years. What's all the fuss? Yes, I'm worth that much. Now let me get on with it. Absolutely brilliant. But with him and De Gea in the side, you think they're looking more the part. Keeping De Gea was so crucial. Often, I think to myself, if a player wants to go, he's going to go.
Most
just let
teams
him go.
Fall a bit when stuff like that happens. Yeah. I mean, Berahino scored a shitty goal to this week, but things like that can really overshadow the start of people's seasons. But they haven't.
They haven't indeed.
Straight back in. Because they're pros, that's why. They're bloody pros.
Bloody professionals. Matter's goal came after a 44-pass build-up. Just got to mention that.
Yeah.
There's Van Gaal's philosophy. Soon enough, he's going to say, yes, it's my team. Oh! And then he's going to think,
crap.
Did I say that too early?
Uh-oh. And then
when they've secured, like, the Champions League spot or whatever.
The backside will fall out of it.
Yeah. If they're challenging for the title and they need to win, I don't know, by, like, 2 goals or something on the last day, when they score the third, yeah, it's my team.
Mine now. Yeah. Mine now, I'll have that.
Indeed. Right, shall we go to the Championship?
Oh, yes, please, mate.
Brighton, they drew 0-0 away at Wolves, but they have 20 points from the first 8 games this season. I like Chris Hughton's honesty. He said, I couldn't have envisaged such a good start.
Oh, again.
Build yourself up, man.
Not a man, you know, he's not blessed with confidence, that lad, is he? He's been chewed up and spat out so many times.
This is... Well, it's not my doing.
Yeah. It's probably Van Gaal's team. I don't know.
Oh, this is his team. That's a bit of luck. Yeah, I think that they're looking great. They've flirted with the playoffs and promotion in the last few years. Maybe they could kick on. Maybe they'll bloody well kick on.
I like the Israeli lad, Hamed.
Yes, he's scored a few goals.
He's a proper target man.
And Kazenga Lualua, brother of Lamana.
That's correct, yeah. He went ages ago, and I always liked him, but again, one of those sort of Newcastle players that flirted with the first team but never really got his chance.
Mm. And then he hurt you.
And then he'll come back, yeah. Yeah.
Middlesbrough won away at Forest. A classic championship tie, that. Both teams won't like that I've pointed out it's a championship tie, but, you know. Not yours.
There was a good tweet from Fred Sauder, who says Ayala, obviously formerly of Forest, told the borough keeper where Lansbury was likely to hit the penalty, and it worked. He saved the penalty.
That's nice, that.
Super. Love that.
Yeah, that's good, that is. I was watching something with Rio Ferdinand the other week, and he was saying to Van der Sar in the Champions League final.
Was Van der Sar there as well? What?
No, it was the Champions League final.
You said you were watching it with Rio Ferdinand.
No, I was watching something that happened. Rio Ferdinand was on the screen.
Good.
I shouldn't have to clarify
you
this.
You should.
And don't get in the way of the story. And he was telling Van der Sar to dive a certain way in the Champions League final. And Van der Sar, he said, fortunately, didn't pay any attention and dived the other way and saved it, and they won.
What a horrible story that would be if that hadn't happened.
But Ferdinand said he was absolutely crapping himself because he would have been up next for the next penalty, and he said his legs were gone. He was just absolutely knackered. So he was like, seriously, you've got to save this. Unfortunately, he did. So he's quite
relieved. Sure, mate, go left. Yeah. Oh, he went right. Oh, good. Thank you.
You've not helped us at all here, Rio.
Oh, dear.
Dearie me. So, yeah, great stuff in the Championship. League One.
Mm.
What about Burton? They won a 1-0 away to Swindon, the top of League One. They were promoted last season. This is the highest they've ever been in their history. It's glorious when you hear stuff like that. And who's at the helm? Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank.
Marcus, I hate to steal one of your stats, but 65% win ratio.
Yeah.
Wow.
How's about that? Since taking over as manager.
I know.
That's fantastic. He good in the box and good in the dugout.
Yeah.
Because he was a good goal scorer. There's nothing right. rude. Nothing saucy there.
It's just, you're a bit funny with your entendres.
Am I?
Yeah.
I'd say, you know. 65%. You can't bloody argue with that.
You really can't.
That's fantastic. In other League One news, Peterborough have appointed the magnanimous Graham Wesley as their new manager, which is lovely. Apparently, he does a lot of his dealings over text message. That's what I've been told, which is exactly what you want from your manager.
No one's ever got in trouble for that before.
The chairman... not those kind of dealings.
Right, okay.
The chairman has already had to come out and defend his decision. That's how unpopular that is. He does have pedigree in the Football League. He took Stevenage, obviously, from Conference to League One. But all I'll say is this. Clark Carlarton, in his autobiography, apparently recalls a moment when Graham Wesley was appointed manager at Preston North End. Wesley's first words to the team were, "My kids don't call me Dad, they call me medal winner."
Jesus. That's just confusing.
Okay, Mr. Winner. What else to call you?
Mr. M. Winner.
Oi, medal.
Oh, my, winner.
Yeah. So we look forward to events unfolding at Peterborough. League Two. League Two, Leighton Orient, they're still top. Fine start to the season. Just 1 point behind them are Plymouth and Portsmouth.
Oh, the 1 week Lucas and here. Isn't it tragic that he's not here and we're talking about Portsmouth?
I know.
And this is the first time this season we've talked about Portsmouth.
They're still unbeaten after 8 matches. There it is.
Shall we play Mike Oldfield's Portsmouth? Which I think was re-released for an FA Cup song, or at least written for an FA Cup final.
That'll teach him for slacking off during the season, old Lucy Moa.
This is what Portsmouth sounds like. If anyone's never been to the south of England, it's as bad as this, really. It's dreadful. Imagine Pan's people dancing over this. Crap.
So there's the Portsmouth roundup.
There we go.
Just for Luke as he's not here.
Mm.
Shall we go to League...
Shall we do that after the break?
Okay, then let's do it.
All right, then.
Hi, I'm Frank Dubuff. Are you listening to the Football Ramble? Football Ramble.
What a dude.
Nice,
what
that.
A dude.
I see you've matched the Frenchman there with the French league.
Yeah, yeah. Damn right.
Unintentional, wasn't it?
Yep. Have not named me buttons. They are completely blank.
Always name your buttons.
I could be pressing anything.
Marseille 1, Lyon 1.
Mm.
Matthew Valbuena was at the centre of things, it's safe to say. he left Marseille for Dynamo Moscow and then returned to France with Lyon, and the Marseille fans were angry.
Talking about a transfer overshadowing proceeding somewhat. Wow.
That effigy they hung of him. I find that really disturbing. And then I was reminded of the one that the West Ham fans did of Beckham, which is even more disturbing because it was more lifelike. Horrible stuff, this.
Yeah, but I mean, effigies.
Yeah.
How did they get it in?
I think they're all in on it.
The feet were too big, for starters. Too big, I didn't like that business.
Yeah.
It looked like a weird set square.
Do you think they did that because to make it, just to remind people that this is just a dummy? Because if it is a bit like,
this isn't actually a public lynching. Yeah, you're quite right. You're quite right.
Yeah. We'll give them a bit of credit there, shall we?
Bit of credit there. So next time, bring all the effigies you want. Bring darts, explosive devices, anything you want. Yep. Marcus Speller says it's fine.
Fine. You'll edit me in saying it is anyway.
Yeah,
so,
it's fine.
Well. The match had to be stopped for 23 minutes in the second half because of glass bottles being thrown at him when he was taking a corner foul by now.
How did they not know it was the effigy that they were throwing next at?
It's unacceptable.
Throwing
glass bottles, no matter what the target is unacceptable.
Right. Okay.
In any arena.
In any walk of life.
Especially a football one.
What if you are recycling?
Well, they shouldn't put the bins. They should put the bins closer.
Put the bins closer.
Yeah.
Right.
Even the Marseille players were getting stuck into him. Alessandrini was sent off because he put a reducer. It's like, you can't all hate him that much.
It's one of the situations where you just have to say, it's all just a big shame.
Correct. And he had a chance at the Enfield plane and he didn't quite do it. And I thought, that would have been utterly glorious. In fact, probably for the sake of his own skin, he didn't score because he'd have been chased out of there. My goodness.
He could have hid inside his own effigy as protection.
What, hung himself?
No, you could just grab all of it and wear it like a protective suit.
Ah, I see what you
mean. His dimensions.
His feet would have been fine.
Could have run away in one of the feet.
It's true.
Dreadful.
It's very true.
You see Pogba's penalty? He did one of those little babby run-up ones he does.
Oh, did he?
It was lovely.
Excellent stuff. Yeah. Marvellous. Right, let's go straight now, without further ado, to the highlights of the week in correspondence with Pete Donaldson.
Thank you, Marcus Speller.
Yes,
and
Peter.
The rest of the assembled throng. You hear me?
Come on, we're nearly there. We're doing well.
Right, this is from Alex Eggs. Hello, Alex Eggs. We've spawned to Alex Eggs.
Eggs's email.
I think you might have done a guess. Stop it. Hi, Ramblers. This is a story which may have slipped under the radar from a few weeks ago, though apologies if the always excellent Kelly Wells covered it.
Has he emailed him with a yoke?
No. Nantes goalkeeper Brice Samba had his driving licence suspended a few weeks ago after a collision which wrote off both cars involved in the early hours of the 1st of September. Tests showed that Samba was over the limit, but the following day he contacted the local paper to tell his side of the story. After a night out clubbing and drinking too many drinks, Samba claimed that a randomer offered to borrow his keys to drive him back to Nantes in his car. After the collision, the mysterious driver reportedly jumped out of the car and fled into the forest. Leaving Bryce dazed and in the passenger seat. Whether it's the worst excuse ever for drink driving or an unbelievable misplacement of trust, I, for one, will be keeping tabs on the adventures of young Bryce Samba.
If that was Tino Asprey, I'd believe it.
What I like about that is that I don't want any mistakes in this show this week,
yep.
Especially with the highlights of the week with Pete Donaldson.
Yes.
Because it's my name above the door.
Damn right.
So I did try and corroborate that one. Couldn't find anything, just typing in Bryce Samba and car. But Bryce Samba voiture did give me the story. So stick that in your pipe, knowing a bit of foreign Luke.
Lovely stuff, yeah. That is. By the way, it's not. You should check out on the Ramble website. We'll have a website roundup soon. But the Czech Republic midfielder, David Limbursky, crashed his car. Right, so I mean, he could go to prison. I think it was drink driving.
Yes,
he tried to leg it away from the coppers. He crashed it in front of a load of policemen.
First mistake.
He then was then stripped of the club captaincy. A few days later, scored for Pilsen and celebrated simulating driving a car.
You can't buy class. You can't buy class.
Absolute head case. Carry on, sir.
A couple of highlights of the week. Luke from Cardiff. I love this one.
Go on.
I don't really have much to contribute, but when watching the highlights of Stoke versus Leicester...
That's no start to a highlight of the week.
I know. I noticed that Danny Drinkwater looks a lot like Lee Harvey Oswald.
Ooh.
Honestly, Google it. It's ideal. Scott Purdue says my highlight of the week has to be Hearts putting the nerves of everyone who saved them from bankruptcy on their new shirts. Clash from the Gorky Boys.
Damn right.
Andy Armsley says I liked one of Pochettino's assistants losing his shit when they subbed off Son.
Oh, he had a great time, Son. He's a good addition.
I'll just bash through these really quick.
Yeah.
Dan Lorenzato Lloyd, my flight leaves at 3:30 from London. Will I have a lovely new ramble to listen to in time? No. Andy Brassel says, what's Pete and Marcus's views on the Stone Roses continuing to gig after Rennie and John Squire left?
Oh, it's like 1996. all over again.
I can't stand the Stone Roses. Lewis Pollock, Aberdeen 8-game winning streak, leaving them comfortably top of the SPFL. Down with that Celtic thing. Careful now.
Yeah.
Have you got a couple?
Well, my own one would be Totti scoring his 300th career goal at Roma.
Okay, yeah.
And Daniel Sturridge playing for the first time in a while.
That's right, yeah.
We've got
a couple more. I'll bash through them. Andy Mills says Mark Noble trying to coach the arsenal out of wide-brimmed hat fanatic Carl Jenkinson. He just picked him up.
Yeah.
On the field. Amazing. Mm. Carlisle fans, this is from Matt Tucker, Carlisle fans celebrating their team's goal with a giant inflatable penis at York. Still no idea how it got in the ground. It's inflatable, mate. Johnny Whitby, my highlight is Canard Blue giving Mike Dean man of the match for the Arsenal-Chelsea game, the mad trolling bastards.
Oh, that was in France. Yeah. It's all that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, good. I tweeted out, you know, get your emails in.
Right, yeah.
People then started tweeting me. I said, I've put the email address on the tweet, but there
we are.
That's
fine. You know, as long as the message gets to you.
One slipped through the net.
Right.
It's from Jay Granger, who's tweeted, how can we develop a coherent and ecological network despite threats of urbanisation of the nation?
Well, it all depends on your ecological risk assessment. Markers, many, you know, catchment managers since forever have faced considerable challenges in managing ecological assets. The problem is, invariably, it's kind of hard to figure out which threats and which are threats kind of worth taking forward, which are hazards worth taking forward, which ones are going to impact what as time goes by. I would recommend a twofold approach, Markers, an effective Bayesian network for that assessment and expert advice. You cannot worry about expert advice enough. Too often, stuff like sediment transport, for example, it's focused upon too readily, and that can mean that we don't look at the bigger picture. There's no easy answer here, unfortunately, Jay, but that's just life, isn't it? That is just life.
You've stolen my answer.
That's just life.
Yeah, sorry, man. Yeah. We've answered that the best we can.
On my page,
yep.
Tony Cowards, it was actually a stand-up. He's a quite a good compare, I recall. I've seen him a couple of times. Can you mention how crap Man City's goal nets are? They need to invest in some net pegs rather than £53 million on Kevin De Bruyne.
The worst nets in the history of the Premiership. And it was Premiership back then.
Southampton?
Yes. Spot on.
Well, they didn't have box nets. They had just short stanchions,
didn't they?
They
were rubbish, weren't they?
They were rubbish, but I wish I'd come back because I quite like the crowd being really close. Arsenal had similar nets as well.
Did they?
They had close ones, I think. They didn't have box nets back in the day. Box nets came in 94 World Cup when Princess Diana smashed open the net.
Open?
Not Princess Diana. Diana Ross!
Otherwise known as...
Oh, dear. Oh, That's dreadful.
We nearly got there, didn't
that
we?
That is dreadful.
Nearly got over the line.
Fuck it.
Have you got any more, or are we done?
I'm done. I'm spent.
I've got a website roundup from the always excellent Kelly Wells. Highlights on thefootballramble.com this week include, but are not limited to, EA Sports forcing MLS players to humiliate themselves on a real-life FIFA 16 skill test. That's interesting. That is a pretty good...
Have you seen that FIFA's new game that comes out in a couple of years' time? They've had to take, I think... one Spanish player, six Mexicans and six Canadians off the game, the female version of the game.
Oh.
Because it would have...
Jack Warner owns the rights.
It would have impacted in their scholarship programme. So effectively they would have been getting paid, except that they weren't actually getting paid for what they were doing. So EA Sports are having a go at them. And it's all just a big shame, because at the end of the day, these guys are playing in World Cups and stuff, and they're not represented in a video game because they happen to be college funded.
Are they going to do what they used to do on old games and change their names slightly?
Yeah, exactly. I think they're just getting old players out that used to play.
Alan Shirer and stuff like that.
Peter Bonsley.
But the moment that hilarious goal celebrations were ruined for everyone, that's on the Football Ramble website as well. Premier League and Champions League roundups, and a further sighting of Carl Jenkinson's controversial hat.
Amazing.
Yeah, which is stunning and well worth a look. Of course, you can follow the always excellent Kelly Wells at Kelly_Wells, spelt Welles. before we go, got a little book plug. Alex Ferguson, Sir Alex Ferguson to everybody, earned the title. He's got a new book out called Leading, where he dissects his 38 years of management from his time in Scotland to Manchester United, and he reveals some of the key tools he used on the way.
He seems to sort of be applying his skills to, like, management training and stuff like that. It's quite interesting, really. It's not just about football.
He's a lecturer, or he's done a series of lectures at Harvard in the States.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
So you can pick up that book if you want to, for cash money on Audible, read by the man himself, or you can get it free with a 30-day trial with us.
Mm. audible.co.uk/footballramble. Football ramble.
Football ramble.
audible.co.uk/footballramble. But it is interesting with Ferguson because...
it's always interesting with Ferguson.
Well, absolutely, yeah. But I did think about his lectures. And I thought, you know, as you're a student, you sometimes you turn up a bit late. Would you get a bit of hairdryer?
I think so, yeah.
Would lessons finish on the time? Stated.
Kick a boot in your face.
You'd think.
right in the back of the lecture hall.
He'd kick a pencil case in your face. If the lesson's finishing at 12:30, Fergie time, could finish at 10 to 1.
Exactly. Dinner for you, sunshine.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, but definitely well worth a flick of the page, turn of the head, whatever expression you want to insert there.
Ferguson's, it's an audio book, so.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
A listen of the word.
Leading. And I'll... You know, this section should be called ending.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Right.
We've done it. Yeah.
What was the big fuss about, guys?
They said they couldn't, that we couldn't do it, but we have.
Yeah, we've proved that we shouldn't, though.
Yes, indeed. Let's get out quickly.
Bye.
Before anyone say anything incriminating.
Oh, this is priceless.
I pressed the wrong button. I don't have labels on my buttons, Marcus. Yeah. Now.
Yeah. I didn't say if you want to get in touch, but they've heard it before.
If you want to get in touch, shortthefootballramble.com, @footballramble.
Yeah.
On Twitter, follow us, and we'll be back next week with our full complement of heroes.
You'd hope so.
Why am I finishing the show? This is a fucking shambles. Oh, yeah, forgot about Rock and Roll Football on Absolute Radio at absoluteradio.co.uk/listen. Liverpool versus Aston Villa in this season's first six-pointer. Mr. Barry Davies in the comedy box once again. Hero, legend, etc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.